I learned a long time ago that a segula for having good stories to tell when you have to give different shiurim like this one is to travel a lot. I learned it from Rabbi Wein. Rabbi Wein was the Rav of our shul, and then he was my Rosh Yeshiva in high school. And he used to travel a lot. He traveled, first he traveled for the OU, then afterwards he used to go around speaking, went on vacations. And it was Baruch Minusa that whenever he took a trip somewhere, the more exotic the better, so he always came back with the greatest stories. And the one that pops into mind, I mean, it wasn't much of a story, but it certainly sticks in your mind, is that he was on a plane. And none of the stories really happened, you understand. I mean, some of them, yes, but you know, most of them, you know, whatever. He said they just haven't happened yet, but they're all true. But he sat down next to some guy on the plane, and the guy, you know, was apparently a very intelligent individual, astrophysicist, right? Studies the stars, works for NASA, something like that. And he's talking with this guy, and the guy says to him, you know, what do you do? So he said, well, I'm a rabbi. He said, a rabbi? A religion? Come on. You know, I can summarize all of religion in one statement. Do unto others as you would want them to do to you. Very, very original, right? To which Rabbi Wein says, so I said back to him, you know, I think that you can summarize all of astrophysics in one statement. He says, well, what's that? He says, twinkle, twinkle, little star. So that was just like an opening joke, but they were good stories. And over the last couple of weeks, unfortunately, so I had the opportunity to travel. And whenever you travel, it's Baruch Minusa that you're always going to come up with a good story or two or five or six. So this is what happened to me on my way to Chicago. Landed in O'Hare, and you guys are well aware of it, you know, by now that there's something called global entry. Global entry means, you know, you get to skip all the lines. People also, they not only have global entry, but your average person who travels today is traveling, you know, with a phone, not like mine, you know, a real phone. And you got all kinds of gadgets on your phone and, you know, whatever it is. So I'm figuring when I land, so I'm going to be like the last guy out of the airport because I don't have any global entry. I'm a klutz. I never took care of that. And I don't have a phone. And therefore, okay, fine. So I'm going to have to stick around for another 20 minutes, you know, longer than everybody else. Well, I get in and, you know, I'm on the line. And first thing, you go into the big room and it says global entry. And all the people push off to the side. And, you know, you got 10, 15 guys over there with their global entry and everything like that. I go on with the Pshuteyam. And I'm with the non-American citizens and the American citizens. And, you know, we go on. Fine. Comes to the point in the line where everybody who's from a different country has to go one way. Okay, I'm still an American citizen. I go the other way, and I go into my line. I get to the end of my line, and I realize, wow, this is really cool. You know, the global entry people, so there was about 10 or 15 of them there. They had to wait online. It was a short line, but I get to my line, and you know how many people are ahead of me? None. Zero. I was the first guy there. Because everybody has global entry already. I go over to the guy, I give him my thing, I'm out of there, and I say to him, you know, this is unbelievable. I'm faster than the global entry. He looks at me and he goes, uh-huh, you're right. There's nothing to say. Moral of the story is that everybody in life is trying to find a fast way out. Everybody is trying to find the shortcut. Everybody is trying to find the best way, but just trying to find the best way to do it all in the shortest amount of time possible. This knach, that knach, the other knach, but sometimes the good old-fashioned way just works the best. Everybody's trying to find the shortcut to learn Shas. Everybody's trying to find the shortcut to become a Lamdin. Everybody's trying to find the shortcut to become a tzaddik, but we all know that when it comes to anything that's really worthwhile in life, so There's no shortcuts. The only thing that really, really works is good old-fashioned hard work and sweat. And the Maisa seems the hardest in the beginning, but at the end, it really turns out to be the easiest. And that's what I would like to talk about in the context of the Parsha this week, and the Parsha in the context of Inyana Diyayma for a couple of minutes as we close out this week. Vayichi, last Parsha in Chumash Bereishis, so is famous, and it really is the crux of the Parsha, the Berachos Yaakov Avinu. The Berachos of Yaakov Avinu are, they're more than just Berachos. A lot of them don't sound like Berachos. Reuven, Shimon, Levi don't sound like Berachos at all. But really bring out the Tchunas HaNefesh of every one of the Shvatim and give them their destiny and give them their challenge for what's in it for them for the rest of history. Now, the first one, whenever you start a new perek, whenever you start a new mesechta, so you always remember the beginning very, very well. And so the first one up is Reuven. Reuven b'chayriyata, says the Torah. You're the b'chor, reishis k'ichi v'reishis oini. You're the beginning of my power. You're the first one. Yeser se'es v'yeser oz. You should have had more in terms of the Malchus. You should have had more in terms of Kahuna. You should have had more in terms of Torah. You should have had more in terms of everything because you were the Bechor. But you didn't. Why? Pachas Kamayim, because of the fact that you were swift, like water, Al Toysar. You're not going to get anything extra. So Reuven's undoing was because of the fact that he was swift, because he was fast, because he moved. What's wrong with that? That's what everybody wants. The faster a computer is, the better it is. The faster your microwave cooks your food, so the better it is. Fast. Everybody wants fast. The guy who's typhus, the guy who grasps the shear the best, you know, the fastest, okay, fine. You know, he's ahead of everybody else. So what's the problem? Rashi says over here, Pachas is not just fast. Rashi says, Pachas va behala asher maheris laharis kascha. It's more than just swiftness. They call it impulsiveness. Acting on impulse. Becoming emotional instantly. And that's no good. If you want to have somebody who's going to be a leader, so you can't be impulsive. You have to take your time, you have to be deliberate, and you can't be impulsive. But other Rishonim, the Ibn Ezra, others, so they don't say that. Nothing to do with Behola. They just say the fact that he was fast, so that's a mum hapaisim. Pachas just means fast. You're too fast. Not so fast. So let's ask ourselves, well, what's wrong with that? I'm fast is good. Speed is good. You don't have to have so much patience. But maybe there is something wrong. But that's issue number one. Issue number two, to continue on something that we were talking about last week. Last week we talked about Asar B'Teves. We had Asar B'Teves this week. And Asar B'Teves, in the Sliches, we learned that there were three things that happened on Asar B'Teves, and actually the way that it's brought in the Slichas is that one was on Ches, one was on Tes, and one was on Yud. Ches was the Targum HaShivim. It's when Talmai HaMelech made the Chachmei Yisrael translate the Torah into Greek. Now we saw last week that it was 3 days of Choshech, and that it was a tragedy, which is like the Egel HaZohav. That was on Ches. Tes was Misas Ezra. Ezra was Malachi. Ezra was the last Navi. And that happened on Tes. And Yud is the siege. Ramesh Shapiro says, you put all three of these together. The common theme is Matzar U'Matzaik. It's minimization. Taking something which is much bigger and making it small. You have the Torah, which is infinite, and you minimize it into Greek. You have Nevuah, Ezra HaSefer, which is Nevuah. And after Nevuah, what do we have? We don't have Dvar Hashem, pure Dvar Hashem anymore. Our communication with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is indirect. And the siege takes Yerushalayim, which was, you know, Yerushalayim, that's the place, and there's no food, it's surrounded, not going to be able to be mashpia as much. So it's minimization. But here's the question. The question is that the Targum HaShivim was such a tragedy because of the fact that the Torah was translated into Greek. That's what it says. It was translated into English. We pointed this out last week. No big deal. French, okay. Spanish, all right. But Greek, that's the worst. Question is that of all of the languages, Greek should be the best. Yeah, anybody know? Gemar Maseches Megillah, we paskin this way, la halacha. Of all of the languages, what are you allowed to write Sifrei Kodesh in? Greek. Yaftele Kibli Yefes. Greek is the language. Of all the Goyish languages, it's the language. So what's the tragedy of it being translated into Greek? What's so bad about the Greek? Should be better than any other language. Yeah, translated into Greek. But no. Greek is Chayshech, and therefore Chayshech came down to the world for 3 days. What's so bad about the Greek? So what's so bad about fast? And what's so bad about Greek? One more Nakuda, and on this we get into another type of Chayshech. Yavan is Chayshech, right? That's the Medrash Rabbah and Parshas Bereishis. But there's a Medrash Tanchuma, famous Medrash Tanchuma, which everybody should read about 100 times, at least. Medrash Tanchuma in Parshas Noach. Ela told us Noach, Noach. Who's the told us of Noach? Noach himself. Noach made Noach. You know how you make yourself, says the Medrash Tanchuma, through learning, not Torah Shebiksav, through learning Torah Shebal Peh. And in this medrash, it gives another definition of cheshech. But this cheshech is not yavan, this cheshech is not bad, this cheshech is what? This cheshech is Torah Shebal Peh. It says the Torah Shebal Peh is cheshech. I'll read a little bit of it to you. Torah Shebal Peh, Nemar, it says about it, Arucha Me'eretz Midah, that it's longer than the land. Rechava Min Yam, it's broader than the sea. You cannot find Torah Shebal Peh in the land of the living. What, you're going to find it in the place where people are dead? Anybody who wants to have pleasure in this world, he's living for the pleasures of this world, he will not be able to master Torah Shebal Peh. Taiva, if he wants to go after his desires, the covet, he wants everybody to honor him. Ugedula, and he wants to be rich. Ba'olam hazeh, forget it. Ela, be'eretz ha'mesim, b'mishamemis atzmaya leha. Shenemar zeis ha'tera adam ki yomis ba'ol. V'kach darka shel Torah. This is how you get Torah Shebal Peh. You don't have to eat very much bread with some salt. Okay, now here's the kicker. Loi kosev HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'Torah l'man ha'dvar me'ela, v'loi bavur ha'dvar me'ela, ela al-pi ha'dvar me'ela. Al-pi means Torah Shebal Peh. V'zui Torah Shebal Peh. Shehi koshe lilmaid. It's very hard to learn. V'yesh bat sar gadol. And it's very difficult. Causes you anguish, pain, discomfort. That the Pasuk calls it Chayshech. Shenemar ha'ama hilchim b'cheshech ra'u or gadol. Ela bali ha'talmud. These are people who learn Gemara Tersh Baal Peh, Shiro or Gadol, that they see a great light, Shakash Baruch Hu Meir Aineim, B'Isser V'Heter V'Tameh V'Tohar. So Tersh Baal Peh is difficult. It's Cheshech. It's dark. The way it's saying, isn't Yavin Cheshech? Tersh Baal Peh is Cheshech and Yavin is Cheshech. Two different Cheshechs. Or it's the same Cheshech. It's just a matter of how you react to it. So what's wrong with being fast? And what's wrong with translating into Greek, specifically into Greek? And if Greek is cheshech and that's bad, so what are we saying that Torah Shebaal Peh is cheshech? And it's exactly the opposite, that that is good. The answer to all these questions is it's a pasha you say, but it's something that we have to focus on and we have to remember every day of our lives. Maisa, one of the things that comes out of every Shiva house, every time you have a house of Nichum Avelim, and really it's one of the purposes of Nichum Avelim, it really gives the nechama to all of the Avelim, as you hear all of the stories about a person who is nifter from different people, you know, that they've been holding in their head for years and years and years. My mother-in-law, Allah Shalom, she was the type of person who people gravitated to her. All types of people. On one hand, very, very chashuva people gravitated to her, and she didn't run after them. They were just her friends. On the other hand, she had a lot of friends who were like, you know, no shaykhs to anything. People who were social misfits. You know, like all these people, you know. Just, so one story that came up, you know, that happened in the Shiva. The guy comes in and he's a major personality, this guy. And he's also a very, very big miyuchas. He's a nephew of Ramesha Feinstein. And he's a grandson of the Beis Aaron. Rav Aaron Volkin, the original one, his uncle was Rav Aaron Volkin, who was the mashgiach in Ataris over here in Eretz Yisrael, one of the biggest mashgiachim in the country. It was nifter a couple of years ago. His grandfather was also a goyin atzum, Rav Moshe's brother-in-law, one of the biggest rabbanim in Chicago, and before that in Europe. In any case, he spent thousands of hours in my in-law's house, my wife's house. He was a Ben Bias there. And, you know, he used to go places with them also. So he told a story. It was Sunday afternoon. Sunday afternoon in America, you know, especially Chicago, where my wife grew up. Sunday afternoon was the time you went shopping. So my mother-in-law, Shalom, takes the kids shopping, and my brother-in-law, together with this guy who was his really good friend, they went to the department store in Chicago. And, you know, they're spaziering around the store, big store, and they see some guy and, you know, whatever, they're talking with the guy, family, whatever it is, they struck up a conversation. And what happened in the conversation was that this person saw religious Jews, they looked like religious Jews, obvious, and they said, start talking with them, and they said, you know, to my brother-in-law and to his friend that, yeah, you know, we're also Jewish. And we also, you know, used to be religious. You know, we also used to look like you, yarmulkes and everything like that, and tzitzis and the whole thing. But you know what? As time went on, it's, you know, it's very difficult to be a religious Jew. And so we stopped keeping stuff. And I schmoozed a little more, and it was a couple-minute conversation. And then they came back, and my mother-in-law saw something was going on. He said, what was that guy telling you? They said, you know, well, he's Jewish. Oh, that's nice. And he also said that, you know, that he used to be religious. Well, that's nice. But he said it was too difficult for them and they stopped. The guy says, your mother-in-law, she looked at me and she said, it's not true. It's not true. It's not difficult. And just remember that for the rest of your life. It's not true. It's not difficult. And you go back and you tell them it's not difficult. I don't know if they did. Kind of awkward, you know. My mother says it's not difficult. But the funny thing is that it is difficult. Come on, so easy to get up for Shacharis. Come on, it's so easy to sit 3 hours, four hours in Seder without being Mevatel Torah once. And that's if you're sitting in Seder. Is it easy to come to Seder? It's so easy to do all the things that we have to do. It is difficult. But the answer to that is that it's only difficult until you get yourself to go ahead and start doing it. But once you're in the game, once you launch, once you're learning, once you're davening, and once you're in a role, it's so easy. And then if you stop, you say, what an idiot am I? It was so much better when I was on that role. The difficulty is just pulling yourself out of your chair, pulling yourself out of your lethargy, and getting yourself going. But once you do it, once you get yourself moving, once you get into it, it's not hard. It's natural. It's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. And if we remember that, if we remember that it's just that first step that takes a little bit of work, a little bit of oomph to pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. But then after that, it's so easy. Just get going. That's the difference between success and failure in life. And that l'maisa is the yesod that runs behind all these questions. When a person's fast, a person wants to get the job done, a person doesn't want to shtel, a person doesn't want to admit the fact that there are issues and that there are things that need to be worked out. You just want to go from here to there, zing, as soon as you can. You don't want to work. Just get the job done, fly through it. Get it done as quickly and painlessly as possible. That's pachas kamayim. You can't have any extra responsibility. Because only a person who's willing to be slow and deliberate and to work with the pain of not knowing exactly what I'm going to do right now, then that person can be a leader. That person can have greatness. What's the problem with translating the Torah into Greek? The problem of translating it into Greek is not because Greek is the worst language, it's because it's the best language. Yaf yefusoi shel yefes. Greek language and Greek culture is totally symmetric, totally beautiful, totally logical, totally thought out and systematic. It always has a happy ending and everything seems to fit just right. But Torah is not like that. In Torah, we have problems. Rosh Yeshiva always is the saying, he probably still does, that in Torah we have Tayu, and we have Vayhu, and we have Choshech, and then afterwards you can have Vayhi Or. But you have to have problems and problems, and don't be scared by the problems. Sit and deliberate the problems. But when everything is so nice, you think, oh, we translated the Torah into Greek. Now everything is perfect. It makes everything is so gorgeous. You don't realize what you're missing. And if you don't realize what you're missing, if you don't realize that there's a problem, you can't be Eimer al Torah. And that's Choshech, because you're in the dark and you don't even know it. But then there's another type of Choshech. The other type of Choshech is the Choshech of Torah Shebaal Peh, where you don't even have a language. It's just a transmission. It's a mesira. Ideas from one person to another person. And there are mysteries. There are problems. There's tayu, vavayu, v'chayshech. And then if you sit, and you're not so fast, and you don't run to the next thing, and you don't say that it's so beautiful, wait a second, it's not fitting. That's right, it's not fitting. So sit and think. Bang your head against the table. Bang your head against the wall. Try to figure it out. You know what happens then? Vayhi Or. Then you get a great light inside. And that light is nothing to sneeze at. The Ramban says in Baba Basra that even though, I'll read it to you, Afal Pishin Nutla Nevuah Sanaviyim, even though the Nevuah of the Nevi'im was taken away, Shuamara Vachazoin, Nevuah Sachachomim, Shehi Bederach Achochma, the Nevuah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends you inspiration, Bederach Ruach HaKadosh, to understand what the Rashba is saying, to understand what the Ramban is saying, to understand what the Gemara is saying, Tosfos, Rashi. Yoidim Ha'emes Beruach HaKadosh Shebekirbam, that was never taken away. And how do you get that Nevuah? By realizing that you're in the dark. You're in the dark, and you have to think, and you have to stop, and you can't be so swift. And then you zeche to a me'in of Nevuah, a Ruach HaKadosh. That's what the Ramban says, and that's something that we still have today. Chachma greater than Nevuah on a certain Bechina. We still have it. We still have it out of Yom HaZeh. And that really is what a person is doing when he's learning Torah Shebaal Peh. He's thinking and just waiting for that inspiration that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him. This is Pshat. After he feels the Choshech, then he has the Hior. It's interesting. You know, people do all kinds of things in life. You have people, you know, whatever, who are very big into exercise, working out. Everybody realizes that you are not going anywhere if you just, like, push a button and, you know, whatever. Okay, do it quick. You know, the old adage is, you know, whatever, it's a cliche, array, no pain, no gain. But everybody, it's push it. It's push it. You cannot accomplish anything without a tremendous amount of investment and discomfort and tsar. That's the way it works. Let's say you have a guy, you know, he has a farm. He plants the seeds and he says, like, okay, fine. I don't want to wait the whole season for the seeds to grow. It's not going to work. Maybe I'll have shachas, animal food. You're not going to have a crop unless you water it properly, unless you wait the time, unless you get the sunshine. That's the way that nature works. When it comes to Limud HaTorah, what's the thing that we're looking for the most? Gishmak. If it's gishmak, okay, fine. If it's gishmak. That's not what the Tanchuma says. It's not a steer to gishmak, but he said, Choshech, Tsar, Misa. Not very inspiring, but it is inspiring. Because if you see somebody working really, really hard, that's inspiring. There's this say in the, you know, whatever, the commercials that they have, you know, for beer in America that I grew up with, where, you know, they'll have the guys playing hockey or basketball. Or the guys are always sweating. They are running and, you know, whatever, there's blood squirting out of them and their sweat is flying all over. You know, what's it called? They're doing something. You want to accomplish something, you need to schwitz. The guy's going to sit back on his lounge chair on the beach with a mint julep, you know, and a Kedusha Rabbeinu Chaim Alevi, you know, or a maral or something like that. He's not going to cut it. It doesn't go. You give him a cigar or a pipe also, just, you know, whatever, to round out the picture. Tsar! Choshech, Misa. But at the end, once you do it, once you get yourself to get going, it's not hard. It's not hard. It's easy. It's natural. And then when you stop doing it, even for a week, you say, what am I doing? It doesn't feel the same as the same anymore. And how can I live without that stuff? That's the difference between the Choshech of Yavan, where you think that everything is beautiful and symmetric, and really you're just not getting it because you're not being mimic, because you're too fast. And the Choshech, which is Torah Shebaal Peh, that you know that it doesn't make sense. And you have to think, and you have to ponder, and you have to get it. And then if you do that, if you work very, very hard, So then, like the Ramban says, so the greatest gift is there waiting for us. That great gift is, after all of the work, so we don't have nevuah anymore, but we have what's called nevuas chachamim. The Ruach HaKodesh Asher Bekirbam, HaKodesh Baruch Hu, gives us inspiration to let us know the truth. You see people who work very, very hard, and you know, whatever, they read people better than other people do. They chop the mitzias, they have a sense of smell that's uncanny. And you don't have to go very far, just, you know, look around the Beis Medrash and you'll see some people like that. It's because of the fact that they grapple with the Cheshech and HaKadosh Baruch Hu grants them Or. And Be'ezus Hashem, so give each and every one of you a bracha that, you know, do what's hard, because what's hard is really easy. You know, there's no global entry in this world. It's just, you know, do it the old hard way and it just works the best. And Be'ezus Hashem, if you do that, you bite the bullet, you just go out and do what you're supposed to do, even though it's a little hard in the beginning. So you'll be zeche to see great Or mitoch ha-choshech, to experience something which is me'ein nevuah, which we have even in our times. And Be'ezus Hashem, you'll grow mi'chayil el-chayil to have a life which is not fast, but deliberate, but delicious, and always, always light. Have a good Shabbos.